Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The lakes are open, the weather is beautiful, and Kevin Wooster has his waders in the back of his truck. You can find Kevin Wooster's blog on the other hand at sdpb.org/Wooster. We're happy he stepped out of the stream to join us today. Kevin, welcome back.
It's great to be back. I'll be going back in the stream this afternoon, though, so I'll only be dry for a few hours.
I was going to say I shouldn't say the weather is beautiful when I'm sitting in a dark recording studio. Like, I have no idea what the weather is right now. Is it lovely out in the world?
It looks lovely. The pattern out here lately has been lovely in the morning, and by about now starting to build up some clouds, and by mid-afternoon or late afternoon, sometimes a little rain and some of those fronts moving through, but hopefully it won't be too bad by 2 o'clock when we step in the creek or so over there at Spearfish.
All right. So beautiful piece on fishing today. The blog, again, sdpb.org/Wooster. Where do you want to begin? Do you want to begin with your waders? Because there's something special about a man who writes about his waders.
Something special or something obsessive and deranged, I guess is the question. And you know, the great thing about this is looking at these waders, which I know Marty Jackley is just astounded that I'm talking about paying this much money for a pair of really good waders, because when I fished with him and his son last year, I think I remember correctly. He can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they shared a pair of waders, which actually had a leak in them. And that's, so Michael, his son, did most of the fishing. As I said in the blog, that's good because Michael's a better fisherman. And I've gone through those periods where you have these waders that you bought for $30, maybe they were used and they don't really fit you, and you spend years patching them and fussing with them and all that kind of stuff. And I'm well past that now, and I spend...
You've earned it?
I think so. Yeah, I hope so. That's the argument I'm making here at home. But it gave me a chance to go back to the $5 hip boots, the first ones I ever bought when I was a teenager in Chamberlain at the thrift store, they would call it now. We called it a secondhand store at St. Joe's Indian School. And, that was a donated item that just shocked me, because we weren't big wader countries out in central South Dakota. And how that opened up a whole new world of wetlands for me for $5. And now here I am, $595, and 50 years later.
All right, what's the difference? Why does it matter?
Well, there's so many.
You know, not just making your case to your wife so that you can justify the expenditure and the check register, but, you know, what does it matter for the experience and really where you can go and what you can do and how you experience South Dakota?
Well, waddling versus walking is one of them, you know, to have, because what I'm wearing now are really recent technology, and it's neoprene, it's Gore-Tex, it's lightweight, it's supposed to breathe a little bit, and it does a lot more than rubber. You know, you didn't know in rubber whether you had a leak or if you were just sweating 5.5 inches of water in the bottom of your boots, but you also wear stocking feet, stockings or booties, and I have a discussion about what to call them appropriately in the thing, because booties doesn't sit well with an outdoorsman right away, and then you have wading boots on top of them. And my wading boots that I have now for about $150, just the boots, which aren't waterproof. You know, the waterproof is the stocking or booting underneath it. They're like hiking boots, so I can hike for a mile between fishing spots, up creeks, up, you know, and stumble across rocks, and as I talk about in the blog, fall down slopes and walk off cut banks and trip into water, and which I've done all of many times, and probably will continue to do because I'm having trouble slowing down. I'm having trouble with focus. But they're lighter, they're more reliable, they're easier to walk in, they're better in the water, and they're better out of the water, and suddenly you're up talking about $600.
All right, so for a new outdoors person who wants to sort of go out and try, do they start out at this level? Do they have to, now they're nervous. Now they're thinking they need a big investment to get outdoors. What's your advice for people just starting out?
I would take $5 and go to the thrift store at St. Joe's and see. And actually, the last I knew, they had a really nice thrift store downtown now, St. Joe's did. Maybe they handle waders. Maybe they got more expensive ones. But, $100, you can find a pretty decent pair of waders. And some waders come with the boots on them. I've got a pair of those for cold weather, but I've got two pairs that I rotate. One was $250 and one was about $300 that I send in, get patched, and get new booties on them when I tear them up so much. And you can get started for that. And as I talk about in the blog, I don't have boats. I've got a little thing that I can put in the back of my pickup and paddle out on water a little bit. But mostly I wade. I like to be in streams. I like to be in ponds. I like to be up to my belly button in lakes. I like to feel the water. I like to have fish bump my legs. I like to feel my foot around and say, is that a rock or a turtle or what is that underneath me? I like to have muskrats go by me and kingfishers try to land on me. And when you wade, you become so much a part of that wet element that you're fishing in. And it's, to me, it's the best fishing experience. I was out in the boat yesterday on Ormond with some guys, and we had a great time. And there were times when I thought, geez, I wish I could get out and wade that shoreline over there. That sure looks nice. And I just love to fish that way. And I encourage people that haven't wade fished to try it, because be careful, of course. But
right.
wear a wading belt. There's a belt that you wear one around your waist, which I've often failed to wear, and then I fall in, and then your waders fill up. And trust me when I tell you, it's hard to get to shore when your waders have 250 pounds of water in them.
It's maybe not funny, but it's...
and I did that once last year in November when it was pretty cold, and I've done that before. So yeah. As I get older, I'm being more careful about the wading belt. So nice. I would also recommend that, always have a wading belt. And in some instances, wear a life jacket, too, if you're going to be wading towards deeper water.
Sure. I want to read a little bit from this blog, if you don't mind. I didn't have time to ask you to read it and give you an excerpt, but as you were just talking, it brought me right into what you're talking here about fishing. Do you mind if I just read a little bit of Kevin Wooster? To Kevin Wooster? Says, and when you release a trout back into the stream, it's not unusual for the fish to settle in for a while behind one of your wading boots as you resume fishing. The fish just hangs out, free of the main current, drifting slightly, gracefully back and forth as it recovers. Both you and the fish will be oddly comfortable, and you might be inspired by that brief bit of symbiosis until the cold-blooded creature of the creek bids you farewell with a flip of the fin. Just lovely.
Well, thank you. And that moment is just lovely. You know that I eat fish. I eat most walleyes I catch that are in the right range, and try to treat them respectfully and take their life quickly and humanely, even though they're fish and they have a different nerve system than we do. And I do eat trout sometimes. What I love best about trout, especially wild trout, and I caught two wild rainbows up in the canyon yesterday. Spearfish is one of the few places in the Black Hills that has wild rainbow trout. We have wild brown trout throughout the Black Hills. And with wild trout, to me, are just, I just don't kill them if I can help it. And to be able to release them and have them hang behind you, behind your boot, and just say, I just need a minute here, okay? You were as good to me as you could have been, and I'm going to be fine, but I just need a minute. And to have them sit there, and then when they're ready to just go, and they're gone. It's like they evaporate into the shadows of the creek and the currents. And then you think, okay, I did that pretty well.
Yeah. Beautiful, because I feel like I'm out there with you, too, even though I've never been fishing, as we've mentioned before. You're going to take me,
yes,
and I'm going to have my first fishing. And then, I don't know, you might write about it, though, so I got to be careful.
I might. Well, I write about most things I did, in case almost losing my pickup in Spearfish Creek yesterday, and I'm going to have a blog about that.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. The slowing down and paying attention is kind of an issue.
I don't pay attention nearly as much as I should. My wife says, why weren't you paying attention? And I had just lost my landing net in a real hard, rapid fall. In fact, I lost it twice. I found it again downstream further. And once I was just thrashing through the water, and I like to stick it in the back of my wading belt. I don't have a hang-on thing that ties to your, because I just like the freestyle of grabbing the net and it got washed away from me, but I went down and found it. And then the next time I caught one of these wild rainbows, and I was just above a real fast, rapid fall. And I didn't want the fish to get messed up, and I was trying to net him. And when I was trying, I dropped the net, and it went in the water towards the little waterfall. And I've watched it go, thinking, I can't leave this fish go, because I didn't want it to. I just wanted to handle the fish right. So I got the fish over in some moss and watched the net go downstream. So I thought, well, that's the only thing I'm going to lose today, and then I almost lost the pickup. So I had parked at an angle on a parking area, and the angle, unfortunately, was aiming at the creek because I was so anxious to get into the creek. And I had that in park and had the brakes on. But when I got into it, as I stepped on the clutch, I looked and saw a fish rise to my left in a pool that I hadn't noticed when I got in. And it only took about 4 feet of rolling to go over the asphalt edge of the parking lot and down towards the rocks below in a pretty steep cliff. Well, so I got about halfway down there and got stopped, slammed on the brakes at an angle. An engineer could tell me better what it was, but it was a pretty steep angle with just the tailgate sticking up over into the parking lot. So people stopped, thought I had a major accident. They were all concerned about me. And the blog will be about who helped me and how I got the pickup out of there.
And more fishing adventures this summer that we get to we get to read about. You're out on the lake with some brothers. Just a quick view of what that's all about.
Terry and Larry Mays, an interesting pair. And, you know, if you know twins personally, you know that they have this. It's not just, you know, fable.
Right.
It's what they have. They have this unusual connection.
Yeah.
And these guys are 73 years old. They're 6'4", almost, lost some age, you know, height with age. They were great athletes in Central South Dakota, played college sports, all-state basketball players. One went to the service for 30-plus years. One went to the Highway Patrol for 30-some years, and they've been back together in the Black Hills, inseparable. I ask them, are you guys your own best friends?
Yep.
Do you guys can think like each other? Yep. Do you guys sometimes say the words that the other's ready to say? Yep. And Terry was a highway patrol captain out here, has very interesting stories. Larry was in Vietnam and among 25 countries that he served in for the Air Force, and was a forward observer in a little single-engine aircraft that was a very dangerous job in the late 60s, or mid to late 60s. Got interesting lives, and they fish, and they hunt, and they watch sports, and they drink chai tea together, and I'm going to talk a little bit about those guys.
Kevin Wooster, thank you so much for taking us outdoors with you this week. We really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Enjoy the afternoon.
Will do.
And you can enjoy the afternoon by finding Kevin Wooster's blog online, sdpb.org/Wooster.